South Carolina. 61 week, 19 the next. It is cold out there. It's going to be cold tonight, too, across the state. I think they woke up the CUE this morning to about 28 degrees. I was down there yesterday. It was kind of cloudy and rainy, but still a good day to be out. Okay, useless question of the day. Oh, did I say welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina? I guess I did. My goodness. Look, it's been a long 3 days. Useless question. Okay, we have this huge deer population. Okay, had it for years. Pigs. Got a huge pig population in South Carolina now. And not so much, you know, maybe from Columbia up, but down Columbia, down towards the coast and all. Why don't you ride down the road and see lots of pigs laying dead on the side of the road? You know, can anybody answer that question? If you have that answer, please text me or call me, 877-235-9405. I did talk to a friend of mine last night riding home from Charleston. I did call a guy that I know that I pig hunt with. And I asked him, and he said, pigs are just weird creatures. He said, they just don't move and cross roads and all like deer will roam and all that. So just a question. But I thought it was interesting. You know, as much as I ride around on these back roads all hours of the day, night, coming and going, well, I don't see any dead pigs. But we tried to pig hunt, and we should have. Told me had pigs before, had pigs after, but we didn't see any pigs. We stayed out to about 8:30 or so one night hunting pigs and had green lights and red lights and all. It was going to be fun, but none ever showed up. So I'm still pigless. Maybe one of these days that'll change. Anyway, you're listening to Conservative Talk 94.5 FM in Greenville, South Carolina, home of the presidential debate tonight. Plane fly. I thought I was back in Myrtle Beach for a few minutes here this afternoon as I was driving in the studio. It's a plane flying up and down across Wade Hampton and downtown. I couldn't read it because it was going away from me or coming directly to me. But anyway, yeah, we're home. And you may want to, I'm going to open it up today. If you want to call in, text, whatever, the numbers are 877-235-9405. I've got a calendar for the first segment. I want to talk a little bit about couple things I did this week that are really cool that if you have the time and would like to really get outdoors and do something fun that you could do. Probably after the bottom of the hour, I had opened up and sent a lot of the presidential candidates an invitation to come on the air and talk about their stance on the Second Amendment. And I got a few responses. Sorry, those people are no longer in the race. I guess when you're I don't know what that says about them or me. But anyway, and the others, of course, never responded. But if you're tied into any of the presidential candidates here in town and they want to have I give them a 5-minute plug to say what they want to say about the Second Amendment, what their stance on. I've got all that information here. We're going to talk about it at the after the bottom of the hour break. But I want you to be involved. I want to know what you think. I don't want to know your opinions on the presidential candidates themselves. I'd really like to know. Where does the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, where does that fall in on your top five list? Everybody's got one, and everybody talks about one. But I know where it falls in. It's somewhere around 7th or 8th on the top 10 if you're looking on the web. But if you want to weigh in on this, I would appreciate it. I think it'd be fun to kind of figure out where everybody stands on this. I know where it stands on me. So anyway, I've got kind of all their stances on gun control and the Second Amendment, and a really interesting one from Ted Cruz, which we'll go into later. But anyway, let's get back to the calendar event. A few things going on around the state in the next few weeks you can get involved in. I thought it was kind of funny. The South Carolina Arms Collectors Association is right over here at the TD Convention Center this weekend. kind of close to downtown, but I'm sure they got that all worked out. But yeah, if you're out there and want something to do this afternoon or tomorrow, the Arms Collectors TD Convention Center, hours 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday. And admission's $8. 12 and under is free. So like I said, if you're looking for something to do, there's a gun show in town and there's a presidential debate. If you're interested in the National Archery and School Program, the regional shoot is in Anderson this week on Wednesday the 17th. If you're interested in it, if you don't know much about the program, you want to see what's going on, you can run down the Anderson Civic Center. Good opportunity to see what this program's all about. It's a great one. I'll be there. My daughter is shooting in it. She's a little nervous. Hey, an 11-year-old shooting her first archery tournament, I can give her that. But I told her, just remember your practice. That's all it is. Zone everything out. I love that movie Kevin Costner in For Love of the Game. When he's standing on the pitcher's mound, he got all the crowd roaring and everything, and he goes, clear the mechanism. And that's what you have to do. So good luck to all those kids. They've had 4 regionals already, and this will be the 5th one. And from here we go to state, so we'll see where that lands off. But anyway, great program. The 20th and 21st, which is next weekend, the Battle of Aiken. Good family event. Come join us and see the history come alive with cannons, cavalry horses, and living history experts. For 3 days, the reenactors will eat, sleep, live, and fight in a painfully recreated version of the world of 1865. Good family thing. And if you want a little interesting side note, research the Battle of Aiken. That's one time in Sherman's march to the sea and then across the Carolinas that we kind of fooled him, got away with it. Starts at 9 a.m. You've got battle reenactments, ladies' tea, dances, church service on Sunday, which is always neat, skirmish, and then the battle reenactment. So something for you to do next weekend. If you're into fishing, saltwater fishing, Hadrill's Point is throwing a shallow water fishing expo in Charleston. It's Omar Shrine Temple in Mount Pleasant. February the 27th through the 28th. Let's see. Saturday's 9 to 6. Sunday is 10 to 5. General admission is $5. Children 12 and under attend for free. The raffle tickets come with paid admission only. Really, they have gone out and gotten some good people to be there. Top manufacturers and pro staff will be on board. Captain Rick Murphy, who is the television show host of Sportsman Adventures. Mark Nichols, owner of DOA Lures. Bob Clouser, inventor of the Clouser Minnow, which if you fly fish, you'll know all about that one. In fact, Bob, I'm trying to get Bob to come on the show. We talked. He wants to do it. We kind of mixed the dates up. So we'll try to get him on for the next Saturday show. Linda Heller, women's fly cast instructor. And you can listen to their seminars throughout the weekend. There's stuff for the kids to do. The proceeds benefit the Coastal Conservation Association of South Carolina. Quality Deer Management Association is going to have their Piedmont branch is going to have their Spring Classic banquet on Friday, March the 4th. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7. That's at Indigo Hall, 190 Ezel Street, Spartanburg, South Carolina. Tickets range from $50 to $500 if you want to buy a table. Youth 17 and under are free. You can get a hold of Bart Littlejohn, 864-585-0935. Yeah, I saw Rick Counts. I saw some of those guys from QDMA down at SeaWee yesterday. So, anyway, that's your NGO dinner for the month, March 4th, QDMA. This was an interesting one. I pulled this off the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. No, I'm sorry. Uh-oh, got my signals. South Carolina Wildlife Federation's website. Oof. This one's pretty interesting, and I may try to go to this one. This was Tuesday, March the 8th. It's the Conservation Lobby Day 2016. It is for people who want to get involved in lobbying in Columbia for conservation issues. It's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's free from what I can tell from this. It's an Eventbrite thing, but it looks like it's all free. You can donate if you'd like to. But they have it's like an instructional seminar, training how to be an advocate. And then they're going to actually go visit the Senate chamber. And they're going to have an oyster roast from 3 to 5 or 5 to 8 that day. So, anyway, I think I got maybe, got a couple more. So, hang on through the break. We'll cover a few more calendar events, tell you a few things about what it did in Charleston, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit of politics. So, hang on through the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. One of my texters texted in and said, "Who are you?" Now, this person obviously knows who I am. But anyway, my name is Roger Metz, in case you're wondering. Welcome back to the show. We were talking about a few things on the calendar. Conservation Lobby Day 2016, that's Tuesday, March the 8th. It's an Eventbrite thing. If you go to their website, you can look it up. But it this could be interesting. I may go to this just to see. Just so I know. Coming up, March 18th through the 20th, State Fairgrounds of Columbia, the 32nd Annual Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. Always a good show. Last year we were there all weekend, had a booth set up there. We won't be there this year. I'll be fishing in the FLW tournament down on Lake Hartwell that weekend, then doing some things for the FLW on Saturday and Sunday. So I won't get to be there. I'm going to miss it. I always enjoy going. John Godwin from A&E's Duck Dynasty is their premier guest this year. He's going to be signing autographs from 1 to 5 on Saturday and 11 to 3 on Sunday. Wow. A lot of stuff going on. Always is down there. Let's see. The largest hunting fishing show in South Carolina. You know, kids got the catch and release fishing pond. Visit the take one, make one trailer. Fishing seminar, air rifle, electronic shooting ranges. You know, you got over 300 exhibitors in the four buildings. The Goodman building has opened this year. So they got a brand new building. I understand it's kind of out near the front gate if you're coming in towards the right. Let's see, Bass Tub with Keith Johnson, Outstanding Whitetail with Jeff Eads, Cast Nest Demonstration by Mike McDonald, Extreme Raptor Show with Jonathan Wood, the DNR Shrack Scoring, and a lot about coyote trapping by the South Carolina Trappers Association. So that's a big one. March the 18th through the 20th, State Fairgrounds in Columbia. And the last one, I kind of had a note here, backyard bird count. Don't forget this from Friday to Monday, and I know kids are out of school Monday, so if you want to give them something to do, just 15 minutes. All they want you to do is count whatever birds you see, log them in, and report them to the Audubon Society. Let's see. President's Day, yeah, okay. Oh, Valentine's Day. Hey. All right, guys. It's your day to give back. You know, the only thing really in right now is fishing, and it's a little cold, so Valentine's Day from the Outdoor Wire. This was a pretty good one. Whether you want to make someone fall in love with you for the first time or all over again, the answer may be closer than you think, a date on the water. New survey. Don't you just love surveys? There's a survey and a statistic for everything you want to know. Conducted among men and women currently in relationships on behalf of the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation, Take Me Fishing campaign reveals that 2/3 of couples who have gone fishing or boating with their spouse or significant other. Those who have been out on the water together describe their experience as relaxing, exciting, playful, and romantic. Of the 1/3 of couples who have never been fishing or boating on a date, 60% of men and 50% of women, 60% of women and 50% of men would be game to try it. We like to say that couples who fish and boat together stay together. The survey, and that's probably truer than those who hunt together. The survey also confirmed that we have been taking note of that women are more interested than ever in fishing and boating. According to the results, half of both men and women consider it important that their significant other shows interest in outdoor activities. Approximately 1/3 of men and women prefer non-traditional dates that involve outdoor activity or adventure, like fishing or boating, due to the excitement and spontaneity they create. They also reported that getting outdoors allows them to disconnect from technology. See, there's the key. How many of you sit there and watch a couple on a date or, you know, and both of them are buried in their phones? It's like they can't communicate across the table. They're communicating through their phones. Oh, don't get me started. The thrill of the catch. 38% of men are impressed by a woman who can bait a hook. I'm extremely impressed with that. I'm impressed with my daughter, Taylor, who likes to play with the worms in her lap, not just bait her own hook. 1/3 of people in a relationship prefer non-traditional dates such as hiking and fishing. 60% of men and 58% of women would be game for going fishing on a date. 70% of women and 68% of men would go on a boating date. The top 5 outdoor dates are boating, hiking, camping, fishing, and biking. In addition, overall fishing participation is on the rise. 33.1 million Americans picked up a rod. I guess this is the latest year of data in 2012. Of this, more than a quarter were female. 88 million Americans hit the water boating. So that's pretty good. So, you know, if you're not into the traditional Valentine's Day, you know, candy and all that, you know, take her fishing. Let's see. They got a little graphic here that's just pretty good. Yeah, it won't make any sense to you, though. You can't see it. Okay. Was it Siwi, which was really neat? I have not seen, and okay, I'm gonna be mushy here. I have not seen my oldest daughter in 5 weeks. She didn't get to come home last time because of something that came up, and so I had to be down there for some work along with Siwi. And really, it was cloudy and rainy. It rained a little bit yesterday. Really missed the duck dogs competition. I got to see a little bit of practice. I got to see probably 130-pound Rottweiler mix or something jump. I don't know how far that didn't think jump, but it jumped high and long. Birds of Prey, great show. Of course, all the organizations you normally see down there, the exhibitors, the NGOs like DU, CCA. Food's always good. Always a good thing. You still got time to go. You can drive to Charleston from wherever you are in South Carolina and spend tomorrow. And they're going to do it all day tomorrow. It's there till 6 o'clock tonight. A lot of art. Met Jim Killen. Any of you know much about sporting art, you know who Jim Killen is. He's a pretty neat guy, I'll tell you. Ran into a local favorite down there, Paul Puckett, and a lot of his art. Paul is infamous for the one fly year, 2015, where he did nothing but fly fish with an Everglades special. We got to talk to him a little bit. Sculptures, they have the decoys down there. I mean, just from four or five different places around Charleston, you can go see Siwi. Got to deliver tickets to one of the winners. He's having a good time down there this weekend. Next year, hopefully, I'll have some more to give away. But it's a good time to go. But in conjunction with that, what's the first thing that pops in your head when you hear snipe hunting? Now, you grew up in the 70s, 80s. You probably either got taken snipe hunting and figured it out, or you tried to take someone snipe hunting. But they do exist. They do exist. They're cute little birds, got a really long beak on them, probably 3 inches long, and they live in some nasty stuff. So when I was down there, I guess it was Thursday morning. Yeah, I went down early Wednesday. I got to talk with Anthony Gagliardi, which brings me to, I need some help with that one, but I'll get to that one later too. Snipe hunting. A buddy of mine that is probably one of my best hunting buddies next to my brother. We always try to do a lot together, but he's a fishing guide. So, of course, for probably 6 months out of the year, he's got no time to do anything but fish. Took me snipe hunting over at Bear Island. Now, he'd been down there early in the week and said it's just loaded up with ducks. So, I love ducks. I love to either duck hunt or take pictures of them, either one. But they're a magnet for me. So we went down, we got up about 5:15 or so, drove to Bear Island there before sunrise. Took me back to Louisiana. I mean, just strings of ducks and V's of ducks going here, and you could hear pintails and gadwall and teal, heard a few widgeon, a lot of shovelers around. I mean, Drake shoveler is a beautiful duck. Don't kid yourself, they're a gorgeous bird. Of course, a lot of coots. Saw some bald eagles. And the cool thing about that is Bear Island's open to the public. I mean, we ran into one photographer down there early in the morning, and there were a couple more guys parked in some of the access roads. I assume they were photographers because you can't hunt back there where the ducks are. But it's open. I mean, you can go there and do the same thing I did. Just shoot a lot of pictures. Next year, I will have a bigger camera. I can promise you. A 200-millimeter lens is not enough. And I'm going to be there before dark. I'm going to set up a little blind. I'm going to sit there, and I'm really going to take some pictures. But yeah, just a cool place to go. If you have any questions, there's techs hanging around. I mean, we talked to one tech when we came out from snipe hunting, and just, you know, free flow of information. That's what's really cool about DNR employees who are there, and it's their mission to make, hey, look, this is open for you to go enjoy. But snipe hunting, what they do down there is they take one of the flooded fields, they'll drain it off, and they'll burn it. And that's where the snipe like to go. But it's, I think I took 11,000 steps on Thursday morning, that is. And it would be 1 minute you're on solid ground, the next step you may be up to your knee in bog, and the next step after that maybe just over your ankle. So it was challenging to walk. It was challenging to take a shot off a stand like that. We had a golden retriever. John's got a golden stretch that I think he's 8 or 9 now. Did a good job. But they're really interesting birds. I'd never been snipe hunting before. Like I said, I was one of those that liked to talk about going snipe hunting. But it's there for you. If you've never been, you know, rubber boots, maybe. What I did, and I'm suggesting of John, is I took an old pair of fly fishing waders and just belted them just like a pair of pants. And I had a pair of boots that my cousin gave me. They're some kind of army kind of a prototype boot that I wore, it worked out really good. But for 2 hours, we walked around this 100-something acre field hunting snipe. And it was fun. But so if you get a chance to, and like I said, I've never done that. I wouldn't have known how to do it without somebody. But when you have an opportunity to go do something new, you have an opportunity to go somewhere like Bear Island and see all the ducks and there are bald eagles around. We saw several of those. All the shorebirds, curlews, just everything. Go and do it. I mean, you think things come to an end when summer stops and schools goes in, but there's always places to go. And the good thing about it is you really don't have cell coverage out there. It's one of those areas you can go and just kind of lose yourself if you want to. So that was my week. It was good. My legs hurt. I'll be honest with you. I haven't walked that much in a long time. So, again, starting the next segment, we're going to talk about Second Amendment. If you want to participate, text or call in 877-235-9405. I'd love to know where the Second Amendment falls on your top 5 list of presidential issues. You don't have to give me any others. Just give me what you think about the Second Amendment. So hang on. We'll be back on the other side with Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Nothing wrong with an old cane fishing pole and smell of early spring. Sit down in a fold-up easy chair.
And welcome back to Woods and Water here on Conservative Talk 94.5 WGTK FM. News Talk Radio for the Upstate. Can read that card pretty good. Okay, if you want to be a part of this conversation, the text or phone number, either one, 877-235-9405. And I'll start it off. I have a number one issue that I think is more important than pretty much any of them, but I'm not out here to give my opinion on anything except for the outdoors. And the Second Amendment, of course, is tied to hunting, and that's pretty doggone important to me. It kind of falls in the second place for me. I've got a number one issue. Guns, Second Amendment is number two. And I'll tell you right off, I'm not concerned about the Second Amendment when it comes to hunting. It's not the reason it was put in there. You know, the Founding Fathers didn't sit around going, these guys need to be able to protect themselves from that deer that might try to run them down. It's not why the Second Amendment's in there. And I've got a story on that if we have enough time. But it's there to protect us, not only the defense of our homes. I think in the original context of the Second Amendment, it was protection from the whatever else, but foreign invaders in the end against a government that would, you know, standing army arguments, and at what point would a government try to control its own people? I think that's really why it was in there. And face it, without the Second Amendment, you've got no other rights. Because how in the world can you defend yourself without guns? So anyway, I'm going to skip the. I think we pretty much know where the Democrats stand on this. But since we're having the debates here in Greenville, and if there's anybody tied to one of these campaigns, they're welcome to call in and you know, hey, it's open line Saturday here. Jeb Bush on gun control. 99.999% of people should be able to keep their guns. This is a real simplified stand. He stand your ground bill is good. Deadly force okay when threatened. Use a gun and you're done. Stance as far as criminals go. He's good with concealed carry, supports instant background checks. Ben Carson, law-abiding citizens have right to guns without registration. He's extremely pro-Second Amendment. Never let anyone tamper with it. Semi-automatic weapons okay in countryside, but not cities. Which kind of, I don't see how you make that distinction. Oh boy, Hillary Clinton. Whew. We could go on for a lot about her. Ted Cruz on gun control opposes unreasonable and burdensome gun restrictions. Voted no on banning high-capacity magazines over 10 bullets. Opposes restricting the Second Amendment. And opposes the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. I guess if you're a talk radio junkie, you know all about this. Some of you probably don't. Be a good idea before you vote to look up and read some of that United Nations Arms Trade Treaty stuff. Poor Carly's not in. Carly was one that was going to come on the show. But anyway, she's not in anymore. Lindsay's no longer in it. Mike's, let's see, who's next? John Kasich, Second Amendment advocate. NRA rated change from F to A. Not sure what the time period on that is. A cool-off period before making new gun laws after Littleton. More parenting, better than more gun laws, which I agree with wholeheartedly. Voted yes on decreasing gun waiting period from 3 days to one. Opposes restrictions to the right to bear arms. Got some people in here, I don't even know who they are, which is probably not good. Let's see. Who else is in it still? Marco Rubio. Criminals will ignore gun laws because they're criminals, which is just common sense. And you hear the Democrats a lot of times say common sense. Well, that's common sense. New gun laws are ineffective, so don't pass them. He has a concealed weapon permit, does not carry. Deal with gun violence, but do it constitutionally. Second Amendment is a cornerstone of our democracy. Voted no on banning high-capacity magazines. Opposes restrictions on the right to bear arms. Got a B-plus rating by the NRA. And frankly, you know, I'm not worried about the NRA rating. They do a lot of good, but I'm not so tied to the NRA that, you know, I kind of follow their little marching orders. Oppose the United Nations Arms Treaty. Bernie Sanders. Wow. You just can't say enough there. And that might be the Donald Trump. Gun-free zones are target practice for sickos. Got to agree with that. Protect the Second Amendment, but address mental health. I can agree with that. Take guns from good people and bad people, have target practice. You got to love some of the quotes he's got. He's very strong personal Second Amendment, although I've got an article about a flip that that I'll tell you about in a little bit. He says both Democrats and Republicans are wrong on guns, and he's got for assault weapons ban a waiting period background check. So that was in 2000, so he's changed a little bit there. If we just kind of go in no specific order on who says what, who believes in what. And y'all kind of have to take this with, you know, the whole term politician. You really never know. This one is Marco Rubio on gun control. And it, this kind of mirrors what we just talked about. The only people that follow the law are law-abiding people. Criminals, by definition, ignore the law. You know, not much there. New gun laws are ineffective. His reason for not carrying a concealed weapon is because mostly I'm in airports and in the Capitol where you're not allowed to necessarily carry those around. But let me say this to you, all Americans have the right to that. All Americans have a Second Amendment right to buy a firearm, to possess one for both self-defense and for sport. And we should be very careful about getting that in anything that infringes on that. Goes on, cornerstone of the democracy. I believe the right to bear arms is a constitutionally protected right. The right of citizens to defend themselves by bearing arms is a fundamental human right that should be protected. And it goes on. Let's see. what the grades mean as far as the NRA goes, and I'm glad this was in here. A-plus, a legislator that, with not only an excellent voting record on all critical NRA issues, but who also has made a vigorous effort to promote and defend the Second Amendment. Solidly, an A is solidly pro-gun, including voting record. AQ is a pro-gun candidate whose rating is based solely on the NRA PVF candidate questionnaire and who does not have a voting record. B, a generally pro-gun candidate, may have opposed some pro-gun reform in the past. C, a candidate with a mixed record. D, an anti-gun candidate who usually supports restrictive gun control legislation. F is a true enemy of gun owners' rights. So that's a little bit about Marco Rubio. And I can tell this is, I wonder if everybody's as tired of politics as I am right now. But anyway, this is important. A flip-flop. Trump now supports Second Amendment. In his second official policy statement, Donald Trump asserted his support for the Second Amendment and his desire for a nationwide concealed carry permit standard, which I agree with. And I've got a story here from Texas. You know, Texas in 1st of January went to open carry. And it was, Katie, bar the door, we're going to have the Wild West. People getting mad at each other, traffic lights, shooting each other, and it hasn't happened. And all the gun control people are scratching their head as in, why? And here it is right here. Texas. Open carry in Texas, much ado about nothing, despite doomsayers' predictions. This is a Fox News story. Open carry in Texas began not with a bang, but with a whimper. We do not have anything to report. Fort Worth Police Department. Two calls so far. No issues. We have no concerns and we've had no problems. Critics believed a public unaccustomed to seeing guns carried openly would call police out of fear, but no such complaints were filed in January in Tarrant County or Fort Worth County. Fort Worth is the county seat. You know, I think you look at the number of guns being sold in the United States right now, I think the people get it so much more than the politicians do. And that's why, Peter, this is not a big deal. You know, there's been a bill introduced in the South Carolina legislature for open carry. Concealed carry without a permit, I believe is the right way it was phrased. But back to Trump. He, in 2000, when he was talking about it, he supported the assault weapons ban and waiting periods to purchase a gun. The Republicans walked the NRA line and refused even limited restrictions, he wrote in his book. The book was, I can't even remember what the book was now. I generally oppose gun control, but I support the ban on assault weapons and also support a slightly longer waiting period to purchase a gun. So there's your Trump. But his position now is he's changed. Second Amendment to our Constitution is clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. The paper begins. Trump went on to explain the right to keep and bear arms is a right that preexists both the government and the Constitution, noting that government didn't create the right, nor can it take it away. He also rightly denoted the Second Amendment as America's first freedom, pointing out that it helps protect all the other rights we hold dear. In order to protect and defend that right, Trump proposed tougher enforcement of laws that are already on the books rather than adding new gun control laws, which I've got to heartily agree with. You know, and it's a proven thing. Government does not enforce the laws already on the books. Their prosecution rate on gun crime or where they catch somebody breaking gun laws is pathetic. But yet their fix is to come after the rest of us that, you know, law-abiding citizens. All right. That's obviously a loser. I do want to talk about Ted Cruz for just a minute because he takes a slightly different stand. So, anyway, hang on through the break. It'll be over after this one, and we'll get on to more outdoor stuff.
Talk radio for the upstate.
I'm Carmen Davis with Assisting Angels. We are a full-service home care provider with over 50 qualified caregivers. I work very hard to find the right person to provide this care. Each of my employees has gone through a thorough background check and in-depth interview process so you can have the peace of mind. You've got a qualified person in your home. And remember, when you use Assisting Angels, you always have a backup plan. For more information, visit AssistingAngels.com. That's AssistingAngels.com.
If you homeschool your kids or have ever considered it, then you must go to the Great Homeschool Convention, March 10th through the 12th at the TD Convention Center. Hear Holocaust survivor Dr. Inga Auerbacher, explore workshops, and a huge exhibit hall packed with information. Register now at GreatHomeschoolConventions.com.
You don't have to put tinfoil rabbit ears on your radio anymore for Great Talk Radio. You found the Upstate Talk Station you can actually hear throughout the entire Upstate. 94.5 WGTK-FM. 100,000 watts of conservatism.
Subject may not have been the best, but the bumper music today has been stellar. I did want to go over, and by the way, I checked my personal phone, and there's text on my personal phone. That's why nobody's to, you know. Two looks like it has it so far. So that tells me a little something. Ted Cruz, he's the only one out there, and I'm not saying who I'm voting for here at all, or who you should vote for. He just throws a little different wrinkle at it that none of the other ones so far have said, and that is the Second Amendment is the ultimate check against government tyranny. This is from April 26, 2015. It's a given that every Republican presidential candidate will run for president as a strong supporter of gun rights. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is arguing that the Second Amendment includes a right to revolt against government tyranny, a point of emphasis uncommon for mainstream presidential candidates. And he said, it's not just for protecting hunting rights. It's not a safeguard for your right to target practice. It's a constitutional right to protect your children, your family, your home, our lives, and to serve as the ultimate check against government tyranny for the protection of liberty. The insurrectionist argument, as Second Amendment expert and UCLA law professor Adam Winkler calls it, is popular among passionate gun owners and members of the NRA, but major party candidates for president don't offer a venture there. Most presidential candidates who support Second Amendment rights focus on self-defense or hunting, which is what everybody says. But Cruz is one of the only ones that I've ever heard who's declared this. And if you do any research on the Second Amendment, depending on where you get it from, you know, you may find it. But if you Google purpose of the Second Amendment, there's a story that comes up the first time, and that's pretty good. It's called Reality Check, The True Purpose of the Second Amendment. But anyway, since that's such a hot topic today, we'll just pass along. Let's see. How many of you know that there is a Python Derby going on in Florida right now? Actually, I think it ends tomorrow. It was January the 14th through February 14th. If you don't know much about it, and it's kind of funny, with all that Florida is going through right now, between They had so much rain in Florida, they had to back pump water from surrounding counties into Lake Okeechobee. Then they got more rain on top of that, so they had to open all the floodgates. And if you're not familiar with Florida, it's kind of flat where Okeechobee goes all the way down to whatever, east, west coast, or through the Everglades. But they've got canals that drain this water to either coast. And if you look at any of the pictures, it looks like you've brewed coffee and flushed it in those clear rivers, those clear waters of the west coast of Florida. And there's a big, because last year Florida voters approved a referendum that said that 33% of real estate closing something other fees went to a conservation fund, and it was supposed to buy land between Okeechobee and the Everglades so the water could run its natural course through the Everglades and kind of filter through all that. It's really bad. But anyway, in addition to that, you got, you know, pythons that they can trace back to some of the, I think Hurricane Andrew was where they figured out the first ones really got loose. But they've invaded the Everglades, and they're taking a real toll on bird life. They'll kill alligators. I mean, they catch some big ones. But anyway, your python update, your challenge update from Collier County, the Florida sportsman team, still haven't caught a python. But they go anyway, and he files this report talking about, you know, the whole background to it, the 10,000 Islands Reserve, which is in Lee Collier County, which is where Marco Island, I spent many summer weeks during the summer down there fishing. And in 2010 was the first year they found the Burmese pythons down there. So they started a few years back. They started this along with Florida Fish and Wildlife. And this is not somebody just saying, I just go snake hunting. This is a huge thing in Florida. And so every year in the cold of winter, dead of winter down there, when the pythons come out to sun to keep themselves warm because they're cold-blooded, they go in and they hunt them. And this was an interesting article because they met a guy at the ramp who was headed back in from Ontario, Canada, who had come all the way down there to hunt pythons. He'd found an 8.5-footer. But so, you know, if you want to, the calendar events for next year will include the Florida Python Challenge in case you would like to go down there and, you know, catch a python. From just above the border with our neighbors to the north is a story that the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Committee has voted unanimously to approve an elk hunting season, which is pretty cool. If you're not familiar, back in time, there was a strain of elk, the Eastern elk. And I think I've got the story here, but it's kind of a long one. They were here. I mean, the elk ranged pretty much from coast to coast, not so much in the Grand Prairies and all, but yeah, North Carolina, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, all up through there. And they've been reintroduced in most of those places. And a lot of those places have had elk hunts for years. Let's see what they restocked. The first stocking was 20 something elk into the Cataloochee area in what, 2001, 25 elk. They did another 27 in 2002. And all these elk were radio collared and all. They did that for years and years and years. The population is now somewhere around 175 elk. And they're starting to have, as in any reintroduction program, they're starting to have some problems with, you know, farmers losing pumpkin patches. And so they have issued a couple of depredation permits around the park. A lot of the elk now spend as much time inside the park as outside the park. If you've ever been out there to look at them, you know what I'm talking about. You can find them in downtown Cherokee. You can find them in Cataloochee, in Maggie Valley. So, but this is one of those examples of, and a lot of people will say, well, oh, man, all you hunters wanted is you wanted to reintroduce them so you could hunt and kill them again. And that's exactly not what we were trying to do. Just trying to restore them to their natural range. All the people that go up there and see them, that's what we're after. But you have to, at some point, you have to control them. And they weren't real sure that they would ever take in the North Carolina mountains because, you know, an elk grazes almost like a cow. And they had to learn in North Carolina how to eat shrubs and acorns and that sort of thing. So there weren't, and also when they reintroduced in such small numbers, disease plays a real role in reintroduction in small numbers. That's why when they introduced in Kentucky and all that, they bring in like 1,200 at a time. And these are from, these elk that went in North Carolina from Manitoba. So anyway, yeah, it's time. And it's really cool. They've set no date for when they're going to have a hunting season. But I just think it's really cool. And that's where you come in with that hunter conservationist. It's almost like it's competing, like you can't have them together because the hunter wants to utilize the resource, but at the same time, he's more interested in the conservation aspect of making sure that resource is healthy, it's in its natural environment, and also, and that's a real, there's so many stories on there about how can you be a hunter and how can you be a conservationist at the same time, and we'll delve into that at some point down in the future, but anyway. Hey, and along with an elk season, they have approved an alligator season in North Carolina now, too. So, for once, South Carolina was ahead of the curve with the alligator hunting, not always at the end. Who knows? At some point, we may have elk in the Pickens County up through the mountains, up through there. It'd be pretty cool to go fly fishing on the Chattooga in October and hear the elk bugle. Sure would save me a lot of money going to Colorado. News from the coast, Hilton Head. I don't know how many of you knew this, but Hilton Head was contemplating banning fishing from the beach. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Mayor, some council members argue fishing is an important draw and shark fears unfounded. Evidently, people were thinking that because people were fishing from the beach or from the piers, they were attracting sharks. Yes and no. But anytime you have bait in the water, you're going to attract the predators, and sharks are the predators. But they're anyway. They're there. You're swimming over top of them, around them. You just may never see them. But there have been 0% of the shark bites in the South Carolina coast can be attributed to fishing. So we avoided one there. I know a lot of people enjoy going down and fishing from the beach. A lot of people going down and enjoy swimming on the beach. Frankly, I'm a fisherman and not a swimmer along this coast. So anyway, there's a, let's see, trout anglers. This time of the year, we're thinking about getting back out, heading up to the trout streams and all that. Take precautions about transferring nuisance or, what would you call them? Let's see here now. They're really concerned about Didymo. It's a nuisance algae. It's found in the Tuckasegee River in Jackson County. And you run into this more and more, especially in Alaska. I know they, in 2012, they implemented the rule where you have to wear rubber sole waders now, wading boots now, not the felt soles. I don't think North Carolina has that. I know some of the western states are starting to do it, but it's something you need to, it's just like when you take your boat out of a lake, you need to make sure what all the weeds are off before you go put it in another lake. You just don't want to transfer all that stuff around. So now's the time, trout fishermen, getting ready to start the season. And boy, yes, I'm ready to go trout fishing. I'm just ready to go fishing for anything right now. But especially if you're going through the Tuckasegee River area, maybe bouncing around a couple streams in North Carolina, be very careful. They've also had some reports of gill lice up there in 2015 in Haywood and Watauga counties. Whirling disease showed up for the first time on the Watauga River. So just be careful when you go up there. Check your boots real good. You know, they say they, and some of these felt sole boots, you know, sometimes that stuff can live for a day or two. So just be careful when you're trout fishing about what's happening underneath your feet. And let's see. Nope. Okay, so number two on the list was Second Amendment gun control. I will be glad when my phone quits ringing and there's no more politicians on there asking me what I think about this or what I think about that. I'll be just ready for it all to be over. You know, I think most of us are. Valentine's Day, guys, don't forget that. You know, and I'm sure my wife is at home going, yeah, what are you going to do for me? Because she called me while I was in Charleston. Are you going to get Jordan flowers or anything? I'm like, no. Taking her out to eat three or four times. I'm taking her to Seawee. You know, maybe that was wrong. Oh, well, maybe I'll make it for next year. Okay, Chuck Norris for this week. And it's going to be cold first part of the week. It's going to get warmed up. Next weekend's supposed to be beautiful. Now's time to make your plans to get outside. Chuck Norris for this week. He gets everything on the internet for free because his computer is too afraid to ask for his personal information. So, got some good ones coming up. It's been a little tricky with the schedule, guests syncing up with mine, but we got some good stuff coming up. Some big news coming up. Getting ready for the FLW tournament. So anyway, as always, make time to get out there. Be careful when you can. When you do, be prepared. Take the back roads, and man, don't forget that camera. Talk to you next week.